Hello, this is Melanie, and I'm reading articles from today's USA Today, Friday, April 19th, 2024. Starting with the money section under the money line column. First item, Toyota recalls vehicles over a rear door problem. Toyota is recalling about 55,000 vehicles in the U.S. because of an issue that could cause rear doors to open unexpectedly. The automaker said Wednesday it was recalling about 55,000 of its 2023-24 Prius and Prius HEV hybrid electric vehicles in the U.S. and an additional 156,000 in Japan, Canada, Europe, and Asia because water may enter and short-circuit rear door latches, causing them to possibly open when moving or in a crash. The doors could open if the compact car's rear doors are not locked. Unexpected door openings, especially when the car is in motion or in a crash, could increase the risk of injury to occupants, Toyota said. You think? Second item. Wendy's offers French fries for free on Fridays. Wendy's is giving customers a new reason to look forward to Fridays. The company announced Wednesday it's giving away an order of any size French fries with any purchase every Friday through the end of the year in the Wendy's app. The first day to redeem the offer is today, April 19th. Customers just need to log in to the Wendy's app or create an online account at wendys.com. Once you're logged in, you'll see the offer that can be used in a mobile order or in-store by loading the offer onto your card before scanning at the register, according to the company. Third item, FBI issues warnings about SMS phishing toll scam. The FBI has issued an alert warning of a new SMS scam targeting road tolls. In an alert posted on April 12th, the FBI said it had received more than 2,000 complaints reporting smishing texts, representing road toll collection services in at least three states, claiming people owe money for unpaid tolls. If you receive one, the FBI suggests that you do the following. File a complaint with the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center and include the phone number where the text originated and the website listed in the text. Do not click the link in the text and be sure to check your toll account on the legitimate toll service website. The FBI recommends you secure your personal information and financial accounts and to dispute any unfamiliar charges. And the last item in that column, Atlanta Airport tops the list as the world's busiest airport. Airports Council International World has released the list of 2023's busiest airports. The top spots this year show how international travel has continued to rebound. The top five by passenger volume in 2023 was Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport, maintaining the top spot with 104,635,151 passengers. The second one was the Dubai International Airport with 86,994,365 passengers. Third was the Dallas-Fort Worth International with 81,755,538. Fourth was London's airport, London's Heathrow, with 79,183,364. And fifth was Tokyo's Haneda Airport with 78,719,302 passengers. And yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial managed to stay in the positive section, closed up 22 points to close at 37,775. New item, hiring spenders driving economy. This by Paul Davidson. Economists have been scratching their heads over how Americans can continue to prop up the economy with their spending despite the high interest rates, persistent inflation, dwindling savings, and rising debt. There may be a simple answer: their jobs. Payroll growth has been stunningly strong this year. Most people who land new jobs have been opening their wallets, with many making big lifestyle changes that include buying a new home or car, according to a recent survey by the Zip Recruiter, a leading job site. 57% of workers hired in the last 6 months ramped up their spending after they got a new position, according to the Zip Recruiter poll results, which were provided exclusively to USA Today. 34% maintained their previous spending levels, and 10% said they reduced their spending. The online survey, conducted in February and March, drew responses from 1,500 workers who started their jobs during the previous 6 months. Many of those who ratchet up their purchases go big. 44% of the recent hires said they plan to upgrade their lifestyle by moving to a nicer neighborhood or a larger home, buying a new house or car, or transferring their children to better schools, the survey showed. While workers who stay in the same job and got raises also tend to spend more, those who snag new positions typically see bigger pay bumps. Of the surveyed workers who switched their jobs, 70% received higher pay, and half of that group notched double-digit wage gains. What drives the wage growth? Earnings growth has surged since the pandemic because of severe labor shortages that have eased in recent months. For a couple of years, those pay increases were outpaced by inflation, leaving households struggling to keep up. Since last May, however, average pay gains have topped price increases, allowing workers to stretch their paychecks further, even though pay increases have gradually slowed down. For the past 10 months, real inflation-adjusted wage growth has been positive, so more workers and job switchers are seeing their purchasing power increase, said Zip Recruiter's chief economist, Julia Pollack. How is the job market? U.S. employers added a booming 303,000 jobs in March and an average of 276,000 the first 3 months of this year, up from an average of 251,000 in 2023. Job growth has been expected to slow this year amid elevated inflation and interest rates, but healthy pay increases have fueled the spending, which in turn has juiced up the economy and labor market, creating a virtuous cycle. Sturdy job growth by itself can boost consumer purchases because more people are working. That effect is compounded if workers saw shifting to higher pay positions. What happened with the Great Resignation? During the Great Resignation, as record numbers of Americans changed jobs during the labor crunch, median yearly wage growth for job switchers peaked at 16.4% in June of 2022, according to payroll processor ADP. Since then, median pay increases have steadily fallen as labor shortages have waned, bottoming out at a still solid 7.2% in January. But pay increases have spiked again in the past 2 months, with the annual rise hitting 10% in March, the highest since July of 2023, and significantly above the pre-pandemic level, ADP figures showed. The surge is a signal that the labor market is still competitive among employers looking for talent and also lucrative for employees looking for pay increases elsewhere, said Liv Wang, lead data scientist at the ADP Research Institute. Job changers are scoring the biggest pay gains in construction, financial services, and manufacturing, she said. What are the challenges that consumers face? The willingness of new hires to splurge is more than offsetting other hurdles households face. The Federal Reserve's key interest rate still hovers at a 23-year high, driving up mortgage rates and other borrowing costs. Inflation is at 3.5%, still well above the Fed's 2% goal. Americans' pandemic-related savings have mostly dried up, and low-to-middle-income households are burdened by record credit card debt. The bottom line? Even if the Fed pushes back interest rate cuts to later this year because of high inflation, the twin forces of strong job growth and consumption could keep the economy humming. Consumer spending makes up about 70% of economic activity. A core measure of retail sales surged in March, and according to Oxford Economics, likely translates to another robust consumer spending gain of 3% annualized in the first quarter. If we continue to see this labor market strength, it could continue to prop up economic growth, Pollack said. New item. Woman's suit accuses Target of collecting her biometric data. This by Eric Legata. An Illinois woman has filed a lawsuit accusing Target of illegally collecting and storing her and other customers' biometric data through facial recognition technology and other means without their consent. The lawsuit, filed March 11th in a Cook County Circuit Court and published by local outlet Fox 32, alleges Target's surveillance systems covertly collect things like face and fingerprint scans from customers as part of its anti-theft efforts. The alleged practice violates Illinois' Biometric Information Privacy Act. The lawsuit contends a law that state legislature passed in 2008 to protect people from details of their physical characteristics being collected without their knowledge. Target does not notify customers of this fact prior to store entry, nor does it obtain consent prior to collecting its customers' biometric data, according to the lawsuit. Target did not immediately respond Tuesday morning to USA Today's request for comment. What is biometric data, and how does the BIPA protect Illinois residents' privacy? Biometric information comprises data on a range of a person's physical characteristics, including retina or iris scans, fingerprints, voice prints, hand scans, facial geometry, and DNA. Illinois Biometric Privacy Act, BIPA, better known as BIPA, BIPA, makes it unlawful for private companies to use facial recognition technology to identify and track such information without the people's consent, according to the state's American Civil Liberties Union. The law also requires companies to specify how the information would be retained and when it would be destroyed. In 2022, the social media app Snapchat was sued over an alleged violation of the BIPA pertaining to the data collected from users who used features like lenses and filters to take photos and videos of themselves. The company ultimately agreed to a $35 million settlement, according to the Rockford Register-Star, a USA Today network publication. In the newer suit against Target, attorneys argued that the retail giant's stores across the country are outfitted with cameras and video surveillance, many of which have the capability of collecting biometric data for at least a decade. Target has also made use of an advanced system of electronic surveillance at bases spread throughout the U.S., as well as two forensic laboratories to enhance video footage and analyze fingerprints. While the system is meant to detect shoplifters, the lawsuit contended that it captures any customer's face who enters the store. There are numerous instances of former Target employees detailing its facial recognition system circulating on the internet as well, the lawsuit said, referencing a TikTok page where customers and ex-employees discuss concerns about the system. Amazon, Google, and others also sued for biometric privacy concerns. Target is far from the first major American company to face legal action due to concerns over its biometric data collection practices. Last year, Amazon was hit with a class action lawsuit accusing the company of failing to properly inform New York City customers of biometric information collection in Amazon Go stores. That's where you can pick up your items and just leave without going to a register. Amazon confirmed to USA Today that it used biometric data for its Amazon One palm-based identity payment system, but denied using facial recognition technology in any of its stores. In 2022, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton sued Google, claiming the tech giant captured and used the state's residents' biometric data without their permission through products and services like Google Photos, Google Assistant, and Nest Hub Max. New item. L.L. Bean announces layoffs, reduced call center hours. This by Ahaney Forbes. L.L. Bean has announced it will lay off workers and reduce the hours of its customer call centers, a response to what the company said is more people shopping online. Beginning July 15th, the outerwear, clothing, and equipment company plans to change its call center hours to 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. That is a reduction of 4 hours a day from the current hours of 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. With the shift changes, the company announced last week that it would be reducing its workforce also. As more of our customers choose self-service and shop through our digital and retail channels, customer contacts have declined over the last 4 years, the company said in a statement. The statement added that more than 90% of its customer calls come in from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Simply put, L.L. Bean customers shop differently today than in the past, and we must adapt to that, the company said. Unfortunately, this does result in a reduction to staff. Impacting people's jobs and schedules is never a decision L.L. Bean makes lightly, and we will be offering impacted employees severance, outplacement services, and, for those who are eligible, company retiree benefits. The company said that these changes are not a reaction to current business conditions or part of a larger workforce reduction, but rather a strategic response to long-term customer trends. How many employees is L.L. Bean planning to lay off? L.L. Bean spokesman Jason Sullum told USA Today on Tuesday that the retailer is still working to determine how many employees would be laid off. We don't have an exact number yet, as we are working to manage through severance-eligible voluntary departures and retirements with company benefits, Sullum said. This was just announced internally at the end of last week, so it will be some time before we feel confident in providing any numbers. What states are going to be the most affected by the layoffs? Sullum said most of L.L. Bean's call center employees work remotely outside the company's headquarters of Maine. Does L.L. Bean plan on closing any stores in 2024? Although Sullum declined to say whether the outerwear retail store plans to close any stores this year, he said the company does have plans to open more. We are actually planning on opening 4 stores this year and continue to invest in retail expansion, bringing the unique L.L. Bean in-person shopping experience to more of our customers, he said. Has L.L. Bean laid off employees in the past? L.L. Bean laid off about 200 people in 2020 and in 2021 closed a call center in Lewiston, Maine, the Portland Press Herald reported. The company also closed call centers in Bangor, Waterville, and Oxford, Maine. And now some news from the Lifetime section. Under the Lifeline column, Royals Report, Prince William. Britain's Prince William returned to public duties on Thursday for the first time since his wife, Princess Kate, revealed she was undergoing preventative chemotherapy for cancer. William, who is 41, has been absent from official engagements since the Princess of Wales, who is 42, revealed her shock diagnosis and asked for privacy as the couple and their three young children come to terms with the news. The prince visited a surplus food redistribution charity before visiting a youth center, which receives regular deliveries from the surplus food distribution organization. And who's having a birthday today? Maria Sharapova, I think, is a tennis star. She's 37. Kate Hudson, who is Goldie Hawn's daughter, is 45. Eleanor Donoghue, who used to be the oldest daughter on Father Knows Best, is 87. Ashley Judd, the actress, is 56. And now some news from inside the paper. First item, wildfires caught Maui off guard. Reports cite preparation and communication failures. This by Dinah Voiles-Pulver and Jeremy Euro. Challenges to communication and evacuation, unprecedented weather conditions, and the lack of a heightened sense of emergency about fire warnings from the National Weather Service are just a few of the factors that contributed to the devastating fires on Maui last August, laid out in two reports released this week. More than 8 months after the deadliest wildfire in modern American history reduced the town of Lahaina, Maui, to ashes, the Maui Fire Department acknowledged in a report released Tuesday that the island was ill-prepared. An 84-page report prepared by the Western Fire Chiefs Association at the request of the department contains more than 100 recommendations in 17 challenge areas, including fire prevention, equipment, response, and training. Among the concerns spelled out are a lack of disaster preparation, insufficient rescue personnel and gear, and communication breakdowns. While I'm incredibly proud of our department's response, I believe we can always improve our efforts, said Maui County Fire Chief Brad Ventura at a news conference on Tuesday. The inferno killed 101 people and destroyed or damaged more than 2,200 buildings, 86% of them residential, and caused an estimated $6 billion in damage. The report was one of two released this week, and several others are coming in the weeks and months ahead. The Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives is conducting a separate investigation into the origin and the causes of the fire. At the request of Hawaii Attorney General Ann Lopez, the Maryland-based Fire Safety Research Institute also is investigating. The institute said its 376-page report, released on Wednesday, is the first phase of a three-part investigation into the response of state and local governments. Responsible governance requires we look at what happened and, using an objective, science-based approach, identify how state and county governments responded, Lopez said. We will review what worked and what didn't work and make improvements to prevent future disasters of this magnitude. The Institute's report said the focus must turn to learning from the tragedy, strengthening emergency response capabilities, and building more resilient communities that can withstand the increasing challenges posed by a changing climate and the ever-present threat of wildfires. It includes a list of the names of 96 people who died, vivid details of the inferno, efforts to rescue and evacuate residents and visitors, and a comprehensive timeline that includes 12,060 entries for August 8th through the 10th. No heightened sense of urgency. According to the Fire Chiefs Association report, the Weather Service issued its first red flag warning on August 5th, warning of potential fire conditions from August 7th through the 9th, but the report found the department didn't have the heightened sense of urgency in response to the warning that would have prompted leaders to bring on additional staff and resources. Once the fire had spread to catastrophic levels, the fire department was ill-equipped to handle the disaster, according to details spelled out in the report. It didn't have enough firefighters, fire trucks, or water tankers needed to control the raging fire. As a result, some firefighters had to use their personal vehicles, including mopeds, to evacuate people trapped inside burning buildings. "When we build a fire station, we're going to be building for the future, not for today," Ventura said at the news briefing, "and there's no perfect number or formula for how many firefighters you actually need, but we do know that we've fallen behind." The report recommends creating new evacuation routes with underground utilities and minimal foliage along the way. Burning embers and flying rooftops. The Institute's report contains no conclusions or recommendations, but lays out in gritty detail the events preceding and during the fire. Firefighters and police officers describe metal roofs flying through the air and falling on cars. An officer who loaned his car to a fireman with a damaged brush truck to go rescue a fire crew, and harrowing efforts to rescue people building by building. During the early morning of August 8th, high winds from the interaction of offshore systems toppled trees and utility poles, blocking roadways and making evacuation challenging, the report said. It traces the origin of one fire to 6:35 a.m. when a fast-moving brush fire ignited near the Lahaina Intermediate School. Firefighters responded using private bulldozers and water tankers to establish perimeter lines and soak the fire with water. They reported the fire was out and returned to quarters at 2:17 p.m. Roughly 38 minutes later, a fire was reported at the same location, fueled by high wind gusts as high as 80 miles an hour. The fire ignited nearby grasslands, then spread through direct flames, radiant heating, and flying embers. By 3:37 p.m. on August 8th, a firefighter tells a dispatcher multiple structures are on fire. 3 minutes later, at 3:40 p.m. on one channel, a radio identified as Command tells firefighters, "You guys have to get out of these houses that are already burning and get ahead of this thing." In that same exchange, the command officer said, "If we don't get water on this fire, we're going to have multiple structures going very quickly." Transcripts of one radio call after another describe the challenges to evacuating the town, including fire trucks entangled by power lines or blocked by obstructions that had to be abandoned, and a firefighter who rescued 7 colleagues, including an unconscious officer. The accounts describe tense efforts to navigate downed power poles, trapped vehicles, and other traffic hazards in the rush to get people out of harm's way. In one location, as they scrambled to evacuate people and keep the roads open, a motorist arrived with keys to a locked gate across a dirt road that allowed heavy traffic to move out of the area. Police officers used their vehicles and help from nearby civilians to break open other gates that allowed access to dirt roads leading out of the area. The fire spread to the ocean, but along its path, water pipes failed and water flowed unrestricted, dropping pressure in water mains to the point that no water was available from some fire hydrants in Lahaina. The Institute said its next phase will analyze the incident, and the third will address questions about how to prevent such a tragedy from happening again. Crippling loss of communication. Though a number of factors led to the disaster, communication breakdowns may have been the biggest problem, according to Hawaii State Representative L. Cochran, who represents Lahaina. The Chiefs Association recommendations include the need for officials to analyze the island's cellular system. Cell phone and internet services were unreliable throughout the wildfire, posing challenges for people seeking assistance or updates on the fire's progression, including evacuation notices. Additionally, emergency sirens, a part of Hawaii's extensive warning network, were not used to alert residents in Lahaina. The number one biggest thing is communication. I mean, that's when everything fell apart, Cochran told USA Today. We had no communication and we were all left in the dark. It happened for days, even after the incident. This is Melanie signing off.